Newt had been amazed to find that the tenant of the other flat was a middle-aged motherly soul, whose gentlemen callers called as much for a cup of tea and a nice chat as for what little discipline she was still able to exact. Sometimes, when he'd nursed a half pint of Guinness on a Saturday night, Shadwell would stand in the corridor between their rooms and shout things like, "Whore of Babylon!" But she told Newt privately that she'd always felt rather gratified about this, even though the closest she'd been to Babylon was Torremolinos. It was like free advertising, she said. She said she didn't mind him banging on the wall and swearing during her séance afternoons either. Her knees had been given her jip and she wasn't always up to operating the table rapper, she said, so a bit of muffled thumping came in useful. On Sundays, she'd leave him a bit of dinner on his doorstep, with another plate over the top of it to keep it warm. You couldn't help liking Shadwell, she said. For all the good it did, though, she might as well be flicking bread pellets into a black hole. Newt remembered the other cuttings. He pushed them across the stained desk. "What are these?" said Shadwell suspiciously.
"Phenomena," said Newt. "You said to look for phenomena. There's more phenomena than witches these days, I'm afraid."
"Anyone been shooting hares with a silver bullet, and next day an old crone in the village is walking with a limp?" Shadwell said hopefully.
"I'm afraid not."
"Any cows dropping dead after some woman has looked at them?"
"No."
"What is it, then?" said Shadwell. He shuffled across to the sticky brown cupboard and pulled out a tin of condensed milk.
"Odd things happening," said Newt.
He'd spent weeks on this. Shadwell had really let the papers pile up. Some of them went back for years. Newt had quite a good memory, perhaps because in his 26 years very little had happened to fill it up, and he had become quite expert on some very esoteric subjects.
"Seems to be something new every day," said Newt, flicking through the rectangles of newsprint. "Something weird has been happening to nuclear power stations, and no one seems to know what it is. And some people are claiming that the lost continent of Atlantis has risen." He looked proud of his efforts.
Shadwell's penknife punctured the condensed milk tin. There was the distant sound of a telephone ringing. Both men instinctively ignored it. All the calls were for Madame Tracy anyway, and some of them were not intended for the ear of man. Newt had conscientiously answered the phone on the first day, listened carefully to the question, said, "Marks and Spencer's 100% cotton Y fronts, actually," and had been left with a dead receiver. Shadwell sucked deeply.
"Ach, that's no proper phenomena," he said. "Can't see any witches doing that. They're more for the sinking of things, you ken."
Newt's mouth opened and shut a few times.
"If we're strong in the fight against the witchery, we can't afford to be sidetracked by this style of thing," Shadwell went on. "Haven't you got nothing more witchcrafty?"
"But American troops have landed on it to protect it from things," moaned Newt. "A non-existent continent."
"Any witches on it?"
said Shadwell, showing a spark of interest for the first time.
"It doesn't say," said Newt.
"Ach, then it's just politics and geography," said Shadwell dismissively.
Madame Tracy poked her head around the door.
"Cooey, Mr. Shadwell," she said, giving Newt a friendly little wave. "A gentleman on the telephone for you. Hello, Mr. Newton."
"How are we, you harlot?" said Shadwell automatically.
"He sounds ever so refined," said Madame Tracy, taking no notice, "and I'll be getting us a nice bit of liver for Sunday."
"I'd sooner sup with a deal woman."
"So, if you'd let me have the plates back from last week, it'd be a help, there's a love," said Madame Tracy,
and tottered unsteadily back on 3-inch heels to her flat and whatever it was that had been interrupted. Newt looked despondently at his cuttings as Shadwell went out grumbling to the phone. There was one about the stones of Stonehenge moving out of position, as though they were iron filings in a magnetic field. He was vaguely aware of one side of a telephone conversation.
"Who? Aye, you see. What class of thing would that be? Aye, just as you say, sir. And where is this place, then?"
But mysterious moving stones wasn't Shadwell's cup of tea, or rather tin of milk.
"Fine, fine," Shadwell reassured the caller. "We'll get on to it right away. I'll put my best squad on it and report success to you any minute, I have no doubt. Goodbye to you, sir, and bless you too, sir."
There was the ting of a receiver going back on the hook, and then Shadwell's voice, no longer metaphorically crouched in deference, saying,
"Dear boy, you great southern pansy."
Shadwell hated all southerners and, by inference, was standing at the North Pole. He shuffled back into the room and then stared at Newt as if he had forgotten why he was there.
"What was it you was going on about?" he said.
"All these things that are happening," Newt began.
"Aye."
Shadwell continued to look through him while thoughtfully tapping the empty tin against his teeth.
"Well, there's this little town which has been having some amazing weather for the last few years," Newt went on helplessly.